Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter 7. We read this morning a number of verses in chapter 8, but let's look at the last two verses in chapter 7, and that will kind of put us in context for what we're going to talk about this morning. Verse 22, 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Notice the a statement of the Apostle Paul in the battle over sin. He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And here we have, of course, a true revelation of the sin nature. And David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. perhaps one of the foundational truths of life is to understand that we are born with a sinful nature. And that sinful nature is never improved. It never gets nicer. It never goes away, not on this earth. But that within that sinful nature that we are born with is the love and the capacity for any and every terrible sin possible. And the Bible uses a number of words to speak of the sinful nature. Sometimes it uses the word the flesh. And throughout the scripture, we see references to the flesh, which is referring to our sinful nature. And turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and it tells us the possibilities of the flesh. It tells us of what lies within that sinful nature. it says in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, jealousies, in other words, wrath, strife, seditions or divisions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And so here's this list of terrible things. And the Bible says they're all the result of the flesh. And that sin nature is what we are born with. And a Christian, when they get saved, the sin nature doesn't go away. Now, praise the Lord, it will go away when we get to heaven. But on this earth, it doesn't go away. It's still there. It's still as mean. It's still as wicked as the day we were born with it. It is, Apostle Paul says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. What is this? This law, it's the sin nature that lives within us. And it doesn't go away, doesn't get better when we get saved. It's still there. It's still as ugly and mean and wicked as ever. You know, we would like to, wouldn't it be nice if when we got saved, we got rid of our sin nature? Oh, man, that's what we would like. We'd like to get saved. We'd like to get rid of the sin nature. And, you know, we'd never have to battle sin. We would never have to yield to temptation. We'd never have a bad thought. We would never do anything bad. We wouldn't, we'd never like sin again. We'd never want to do it. Boy, wouldn't that be great? But that's not the way it is. We don't get rid of that until we get to heaven. But when we're saved, we are given the power over it. Praise the Lord. But the Apostle Paul described the battle in the Christian life between the sin nature and their new life in Christ. And so he is talking about the continual battle in our life between that sin nature and our new life in Jesus Christ. And so he said, now, if I do that, which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. So we have this battle. And every Christian is in this battle. You know, before you get saved, it really is, what should I say? In one sense, it's, there really isn't a battle over sin. You just do it. And the only thing that keeps you from sinning is, you know, whatever the consequences might be that would motivate you not to sin. And so that's why laws and policemen and, you know, different things like that are good. Otherwise, people would just do whatever they pleased. And that's what most unsaved people try to do. They just try to do whatever comes to their mind. But when you get saved, get a new nature, but you still got the old nature. And the Apostle Paul is talking about the agony of this battle. Now, so it's important for us to realize that we have a sin nature. It's real. It doesn't go away. And the fact is, the Bible tells us that if we yield to that sin nature, we're in big trouble. If we yield to that sin nature, we are in big trouble. It talks about that number of places, but it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, knowing not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. So we have this sin nature in us, and it's ever present. It's never going to get any better. And in fact, The more you grow in the Lord, the more evil you will realize it is. The more evil you will realize your human nature, sinful nature is. And it will, in that sense, it will probably seem like you are, what should I say, that you aren't growing. Because the sin nature seems to be so real and so terrible. But as you grow in the Lord, the sin nature becomes more and more. The evil of the sin nature becomes more and more real, and you become more and more aware of how evil we are. And you become more and more aware how evil that sin nature is as you grow in the Lord. The contrast between night and day becomes all the more real as the light increases in our life. And so the Bible says we can get big trouble with our sin nature. And we get big trouble by yielding to it. And when we yield to it, now we become a slave. Whatever it is, we become a slave to it. Whether it's stealing, or whether it's lying, or whether it's being mean, or whether it's being moody, or whether it's being bitter, or whether it's being angry, or all these other terrible things that can take place. Obviously, our world is full of addictions to, and it really isn't, that isn't a Bible word. You know, the Bible word is enslavement. Enslavement to whatever it is, whether it's these sins of that are mentioned here, whether it be like gambling or pornography or laziness or being a troublemaker or whatever it is. You know, all sin comes from the same place. It comes from the sin nature, and every one of us are born with it. We're born with it. And we aren't born good. We're born wicked. And when we get saved, that wicked nature is still there. And so now, in the Christian life, there's a warfare. A warfare between the God, the new nature, the new life, and the sin nature. And so we can get in big trouble if we yield to sin. As we yield to sin, we're yielding to the sin nature. And we can feed it, and if we feed the sin nature, we feed the flesh, it's going to become more powerful and more dominant in our life, and we're going to become more enslaved to our sin. And so the Bible describes this battle that we have in our life as a Christian. And you know, unsaved people, I remember growing up in an unsaved home, and unsaved people think, you know, all those people, they go to church. They think they're so holy. Well, you know what? In a real church, that's really the opposite, isn't it? People go to church because they know they're so sinful. They go to church because they know they're such sinners that they need all the help they can get. They go to church because they want to be in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, where the Word of God can be empowered and can enlighten their mind and stir that soul and help them in their spiritual life and their battle against sin. Because Christians do not enjoy losing the battle. But there's a battle going on. And a real Christian is all about wanting to do right and to have victory over sin and the sin nature. And so we have this great verse in verse 24. The Apostle Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who shall and sin brings death, doesn't it? Sin brings separation from God. Sin is miserable. It makes us miserable. Who shall deliver me?" And that's what he's saying. Who shall deliver me? Now, that's the cry of a real Christian. A real Christian is crying, "Who will deliver me? How can I be delivered from this sin? How can I have victory over sin?" Now, that's obviously a great difference between a saved person and an unsaved person. You know, a saved person is identifying with the Apostle Paul. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the..." Because a saved person really realizes the power of sin and realizes the evil of our sin nature and realizes that our great need in our life. And so he said, verse 25, he says, "Well, thank the Lord," he says. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now we have, here's the statement of the assurance of victory in our life. There we go. Praise the Lord. We got this battle. And we need to be reminded of the fact that there is victory. There is deliverance from and over sin and in this battle. Okay? And so we want to be just kind of say some practical things about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. The victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And that you and I are not stronger than the flesh. You and I are not, by our determination, able to defeat the flesh. We can't determine that we are going to do better and win. We can't get it. We can't get there by determining that we're going to do better. We can't do it in our strength. And here it tells us that there is victory, not in ourselves, but victory in Jesus Christ. And so, what a great truth. "I thank God through Jesus Christ." He said, "Oh, who's going to deliver me?" He said, "Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is going to deliver me." Now, I like that picture. Don't you like that picture? There's a big difference between struggling and deliverance. Right? Right? You know, if you're struggling, you're struggling. If you're delivered, oh! Got snatched out of there, right? And that's the difference. He said there's a deliverance. There's a victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And so, chapter 8, he is going on. And he's giving us some insights into that victory. Now, notice what it says. We'll look at a few verses. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now he's giving us the center of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And the center of that victory is found in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our deliverer, is our helper in this deliverance. Now, we could go a step back. We could go to Romans chapter 6, and we could talk about the possibility and the provision for this victory when it talks about how we are to reckon ourselves to be dead in Christ, and that because of Christ, sin's hold has been broken. But in chapter 8, it's talking about the next step. It's talking about the positive. It's talking about the deliverance is through our helper, the Holy Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, I want to paint a little picture here. Okay? Let's go to chapter 13. Chapter 13, notice some verses here. It says, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, nor in chambering, not in chambering and wantonness, but in and not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What I want to point out here is a positive and a negative. A positive and a negative. And I think this is a really important principle. You can't isolate the two. You cannot isolate the negative and just deal with the negative. And you can't just deal the positive includes the negative. I'm going to try to explain myself. You can't just deal with the negative. And that would be kind of like, Lord, help me not to do this. Lord, help me not to do this. And then you go do it. You can't just deal with the negative. Okay? But in the scripture, we always have them both together. Put off and put on. It says, put off the works of light, darkness, and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have two things, and I think we see how would we put it in another sense? In another sense, it tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And in another sense, it says to put on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the two have to go together. Now, I'm going to illustrate this from something that I think some of you probably are experiencing. We talked about, we've been working in Sunday school about witnessing, right? And some people, and praise the Lord for those who have realized that they need to be obedient to the Lord, and they have made a commitment to say, I'm going to try to witness every day for the Lord. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that would keep you from witnessing. You know, fear would keep you from witnessing, right? You know, fear, what people would say, would keep you from being a witness. Now, what's the opposite of fear? Boldness. Right? The opposite of fear is boldness. Okay? So, if you're going to be a witness, what would you do? I think you would, you wouldn't solve it by saying, Lord, help me not be afraid. You might, but really how you solve it is by saying, okay, Lord, help me not be afraid, and now, Lord, give me boldness, because I'm going to witness. So, in one step, you're defeating sin, and in one step, you're getting victory. In one step, you're putting off. In one step, you're putting on. In one step, you're overcoming the hold of sin. Now, maybe you're not one of those kind of people that's, you know, timid and shy and afraid of what people might think, you know. I don't know too many of them, but that's has a definite hold on people, doesn't it? I remember talking to a person, and one person said, "You know what? Witnessing is only for people who have that gift, and I don't have that gift, and so I am never going to be a witness." I'd say that person's been enslaved. That person is enslaved by their fear. Maybe a bunch of other things too. Sometimes we don't look at it that way, do we? We don't look at these different things as a part of being enslaved by sin. But you know, sin has many facets. And sin has many avenues that can bring us into enslavement. And we come to a place where we don't even see, you know, maybe we come to a place that we don't even see that we're enslaved. We don't even see that we're captivated. We don't even see that we need deliverance. We don't see things as sinful. But the Apostle Paul, he saw these things as sinful. He saw them as a battle. Now, why did he have the battle in his life? That's a good question. Why did he have the battle? He had the battle in his life because why? Because he wanted to do what? Right. When he wanted to do right, he realized there's this other law in his life that was warring against him and that was keeping him from doing right. And he identifies the center of that war is the sinful nature. And when the sinful nature, out of that sinful nature comes all this love and for sin, and when we get it, we follow it, we become captured. And so we have to see ourselves as captured. Whatever it is, we have to see ourselves as that sin. We've allowed sin to capture us. And no, it gets kind of personal. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't really want to think of it. You know, if we could say, you know, we don't want to say I've been captured by my laziness. We don't want to say I've been captured by anger. We don't want to say we become a slave to lust. We don't want to say I become a slave to being mean. You know, we don't want to say I become a slave to revenge. We don't want to say I become a slave to blaming other people for my problems. We don't want to say I become a slave to being rebellious and resistant to authority. We don't see ourselves as captured. But really, that's kind of the first step. The first step is to identify sin as sin, to realize where it came from, that it's within our sin nature, and that sin nature is as ever alive and real as ever. And that when we feed our sin nature and feed the flesh, oh, we find out it's far more powerful than we are. Now we'll excuse it by saying, well, that's the way I am. Right? We say, oh, that's the way I am. That's who I am. We won't really deal with reality, but here Apostle Paul's dealing with reality. He's saying, this is the battle. This is the battle that's in my soul. And he's saying the victory is available. And let's review a couple thoughts here about the victory. Notice he says, chapter 8, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You know, here we are. Here is the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Lord really kind of put this together in my mind this last week. Brother Flanders was preaching, and he says, you know, Ari Torrey and D.L. Moody, they wrote a lot about how the Holy Spirit is there to empower us in Christian service. And it's true. The Holy Spirit is there to empower us in Christian service. You know, if you have ever done anything for the Lord, you know, whatever it is, you know, if you are if you have ever taught a Sunday school class, and as you're about to prepare for that Sunday school class, what do? You pray, right? You pray, and you ask the Lord to enable you. To lead you to understand the Word of God, to put it together, to present it in a proper way so people can understand it. And as you present the lesson, when you get to the lesson, you pray for the Holy Spirit to help you and to present that lesson. You know, if you have witnessed, if you do witnessing for the Lord, You know, you go out and you're going to go witnessing. And you know what? Obviously, we already talked about, you know, it's the first, you know, it's a big step. It's a big step to get out of your skin and to get over your fear. And it's a big step to say, you know what? I'm going to talk to people today. And Lord, I'm trusting you to enable me to talk to people. And you go up to somebody and you start talking to them. And even while you're talking to them, you say, you know, I don't know exactly what to say. Lord, enable me. You know, Lord, help me to say the right thing and know what to say. And sometimes you don't know what to say and you leave there, and then the Holy Spirit uses that to teach you what to say the next time. But you're there, and I don't know how many times I've been talking to somebody and it's like, oh, you know what? That's pretty good. That's a good way of putting it. Never thought about that before. You know what? That came from the Lord. It wasn't me. And you know what? God enabled you. You know why? Because you are trusting Him. By faith, you trusted Him. And when you walk out the door, you already, you know, you're trusting Him. You wake up that day and say, Lord, I'm going to talk to somebody today. Lord, I don't know who it is. Lord, lead me to the right person. Lord, enable me. You know, you start your day with commitment to witness. And you start the day by that trusting Christ for the enablement. And you trust the Lord for the power, and you trust Him. And then as you go through the day, you continue to trust Him. And as you get to whatever situation it is, you trust Him. It was really a blessing. We came back from the conference on Thursday night, and my wife and I, and said, we looked at each other and says, you know, well, my wife says, you know, I haven't been able to get out all day today. We got to go to Walmart tonight. And we had things to buy anyhow. And so we go to Walmart. And I was thinking, you know, who am I going to talk to tonight? You know, it's 11 o'clock at night, you know. And, you know, you think of all these crazy things, you know. And so to make a long story short, had the opportunity to talk to a couple of people, but there I am. I said, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait for Rotonda. And I sat there, and guess who's walking my direction off of her shift but Jamie. And so I got to talk to her about the Lord for about 25 minutes. And you know what? You know who did it? It was the Lord. It was the Lord who orchestrated all of that. You know? And so here is an illustration. You know, the Holy Spirit is there to enable us. He is there to deliver us from our fears. He is able to deliver us from being held captive to our insecurity, from our fears, from our bashfulness, you name it. He can do it. And not only does that, but He enables us to speak for Him. He enables us. Now, here's the same principle. It's the same principle of how we have victory over sin. The same principle. You know, I start off the day, I don't say, Lord, now help me not be afraid. No, I don't say that. I says, Lord, lead me to the right person today. Lord, help me to speak for you today. You know, in the positive, you are already overcoming the negative. You understand what I'm saying? And so many times we get caught when we're trying to overcome sin. We get caught in just hanging on to the negative. We say, Lord, help me not to do this, Lord. Or maybe we don't even, maybe we just determine we're not going to do it. We say, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, we already messed up because we'll never win that one. We'll always fail. Just depends how good a determiner we are. But you know, if we look to the one who has been given to us to deliver us, isn't that a lot better? Isn't that a lot better than saying, I'm not going to do this anymore? Isn't that a lot better to look to the one who has been given to us to deliver us? And so, Lord, so let's just say, we're fighting being mean to our brother or sister. Okay, I heard there's some people that don't get along with their brothers and sisters. I don't know if that's ever possible. But anyway, how would we start the day? We would start to say, Lord, you know what? This mean spirit that I have, that sin. And you know what, Lord? Today, would you empower me to be kind? Lord, will you empower me to be kind? And then as the day goes on and you see your sister, you say, Lord, empower me to be kind. And they say something that's rascally, and you say, Lord, empower me to be kind. You know, that's no different than depending on the Holy Spirit to witness, is it? That's no different. It's not determining, it's trusting. It's not trying, it's relying. And that's where the victory is. Relying on Him by faith. Trusting Him by faith. Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory. Isn't that better? That victory, that's better than trying. The victory is the reality of Christ empowering us, Christ enabling us, Christ being our helper through the Holy Spirit. What a great truth that is. And so we have, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, it's really the model prayer. You know, we know it's a daily prayer. He says, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And so when he says, lead us not into temptation, we see that that's a daily prayer. And we see the negative, lead us not into temptation. But we also have, hallowed be thy name. There's the positive. And we find even a daily, in this daily battle, okay, just like we have a daily seeking to obey the Lord in our witness. Lord, today I'm going to witness for you. I need your strength. I need you to lead me. Lord, I need your power. And Lord, I'm, you know, I'm giving myself to you today, you know, to overcome my weakness and my fears and timidness and being a wimp, you know? But you know, daily, there's the victory in the sins that we're trying, that we're dealing with in our life. Lord, today, I'm trusting you and relying upon you that, Lord, that you'll enable me to be kind today. And I think everybody here that's a Christian knows that when they trust God, that he delivers them, doesn't he? And trusting is better than trying. Trusting is better than trying. Believing is better than willing or determining. Relying upon him. What will it be? What will it be? What is it that the Lord brings to your mind today that says, you know, I'd really like to have the victory in this? And you say, you know what? I've tried a long time. I think trusting will be a lot better. By faith, trusting Christ through his Holy Spirit, through our helper, to give us the victory. Amen? Think about it. Pray about it. Let the Lord help you even today. Look to him to put this simple truth in your life for deliverance. We kind of shy away from that word because the Pentecostals, they kind of twist that word. But trust, that's a good picture, deliverance. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the victory that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that your word tells us it's not just a hope so, it's not a mere possibility, but we know it's a statement of fact that the victory is there for us in the Lord Jesus. And that, Lord, we can look to you. And I pray that, Lord, that your people would be helped, that we would be helped, that we would be, Lord, turning from trying our hardest to trusting you by faith to give us the victory. We thank you, Lord, for how you can work. While our heads are bowed, take this time.